WABF, good morning. It is 8:25 and 46 degrees in downtown Fairhope. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope City Council President Jimmy Conyers back for a second week in a row. Thank you, Jimmy.
Good morning, Lori. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we just did this, didn't we?
We did. But since y'all have moved the 27th meeting to this Wednesday, then you coming on back in to tell me what's going on.
Yeah, it's just hard to count on people being in town the week between Christmas and New Year's.
Yes, I myself included. So, yeah, that's a good idea. It's kind of such a dead week as far as accomplishing any business anyway.
Absolutely.
So to speak. Well, the city council accomplished quite a feat of business last week by passing a moratorium on basically larger developments outside of the city limits and those that are going to be annexed in. And there was an amendment to that ordinance to include projects that are what would be called informal
projects
reviews
that have already been through informal review or the pre-application conference.
So that means they haven't been approved yet. But the ball was rolling. They've spent money with plans and plats, et cetera.
Exactly. We try to get this in place as quickly as possible, but at the same time, there are many developers that have already spent a lot of money, a lot of engineering, a lot of legal work, and didn't want to pull the rug out from people that have been doing things in good faith. So
okay, so one of those would be the Lawrence Road apartment complex that made the cut. Then
I believe they have until Wednesday of this week to submit an application. I believe that they have submitted an application by this time.
Oh, that's right, because once you pass it, you
still have
to
advertise
it for a week or so, and then it will become effective.
Exactly. So okay. I think it becomes effective Wednesday, okay. 22nd.
What kind of feedback have you received as a councilman for taking this step?
Mostly positive. Even the developers I've talked to seem to understand. They're not too upset with the moratorium. They just, you know, their general stance is they want to know the rules, and as long as they know the rules, they'll play by the rules. And and they understood that things were getting pretty hectic out there, and we needed to take some action to slow down a little bit to allow the utilities and everything to catch up. The infrastructure has just been a real challenge, and we're working hard through town right out in front of your studio. Been an ongoing project, so overdue, but working on it.
The Church Street infrastructure project. So many people still ask me, what is that? I'm like, we're replacing what? Water, sewer, gas lines as needed.
Exactly.
From Oak all the way to Fells.
You got it.
Okay. Getting back to that development, you may have heard, I suppose, I have heard at least, some complaints for this moratorium not including, or are y'all announced to, the proposed Planning District 37 group and the young lady Elizabeth Gable Wilson that addressed y'all, that would not be included because they still have time to apply before the moratorium is actually in effect, and they had already done some preliminary stuff. Yeah,
and my understanding is they have made a full application at this time.
Okay, all right.
In fact, maybe even prior to the actual vote.
Okay.
I believe they have.
And I had her on Friday. I'm impressed with the grassroots effort of a couple of citizens to get a zoning vote on the table. That just makes me proud to see people acting and proacting for their own communities. But she was saying they believe, and they're going to get legal opinion, that at the November 2nd, when she did the paperwork to start the process for the special referendum on the zoning of this district, that is when no more development can take place from that date. So I think there may be at least some question in their minds.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Okay. I did have a good visit with her after the council meeting the other night.
Oh, good.
Into her in the parking lot, and she's very passionate about her community, and she comes from a long line of Fairhopers. Her family's been here for quite some time on both sides of the family. So.
Mm-hmm.
She just believes strongly about where she lives, and I don't blame her. I just encouraged her to know when you're addressing these types of issues, you want to get out in front of them earlier, because oftentimes when people do come to the council with concerns or frustrations, a lot of times the ship has already sailed, so to speak.
Yeah, by the time you see it happening, it's too late.
Right. The zoning has been available for, you know, Art Dias always says in our planning commission meetings, zoning has been made available for quite some time, and usually nobody wants to be zoned. They all want their neighbor to be zoned.
Right.
They don't want to be zoned, and by the time a project comes along, it's hard to stop if it meets the zoning, or especially if it's unzoned county.
Her interview, by the way, if anyone is interested in that, is on our website, just as yours and the mayor's and others, and this one will be as well, WABF1480.com. And speaking of growth, there were two amending of zoning ordinances on the agenda last week that are up for final adoption, and one would be a planned unit development concurrent with annexation on Section Street and Petoli Drive. Did we ever find out where that is?
Yes,
exactly?
That's further down. I think I wasn't sure where that was because I just had not heard of that street, and I believe it's because it's new and it's one of those subdivisions down in RSA development. So if you go a little further down south on Section, it would be on the west side of the road.
Okay, and so would this, for instance, tonight, if it gets the approval, will it be, it'll be approved in time to not be affected by the moratorium because it is a planned unit development?
Right, well, I think they just have to have their application in, so this one's well on its way.
Okay, all right. And then the next one is called the Del Corti property, and this is zoning to B2 General Business District at 181 and 104, and that corner is just developing really fast. Another situation outside the city limits. Are these going to annex in?
Yes, this is for to include annexation.
Oh, there it is, to include concurrent with annexation. And once again, it's like the growth, it's a catch-22. Outside of the city limits, they can build pretty much whatever they want.
That's correct.
Inside of the city limits, the city has a little more control and can generate more revenue. So it's like, let's pick the best of the two evils.
Right. It is a catch-22. And you know what's always interesting? And I think I'm like everybody else. We want development to continue, but at a slower pace than what has been lately, you know, some type of controlled growth. But if you really start talking to individuals, a lot of the times the people that come, and now I know Emily is an exception because her family's been here forever, but a lot of times the individuals that are frustrated with the growth have recently moved here.
Yeah, and that's another catch-22, isn't it?
Yeah, so, you know, Fairhope is sort of a victim of its own success. It's one of the greatest places in the world you could ever live, and we're constantly being celebrated by magazines and different publications.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that happens, it's a wonderful pat on the back, but it comes along with more people that want to move to the area.
Mm-hmm. At that meeting, Hunter Simmons, the planning director, was asked to provide a list of all of those projects already in motion. So do we expect to see that after Wednesday, I suppose?
I'm not sure if he'll have a consolidated list. I think that would be great. I know right now the projects that have been approved, I think you can access them through the website. He was given instructions on where you could find them, but it didn't sound like there was a consolidated list.
Right.
He said that was something he was intending to work on, so be happy to follow up with him.
Okay.
And see if he plans on having one in place.
I think it may help because we as citizens may not realize how much is already on the board and it's going to be happening. But in many cases, it started two years ago. The pandemic came along and the brakes were put on building, and now they're building again.
Exactly. And I think that you mentioned that 181, 104 mm-hmm. intersection. I mean, that corridor right there is probably one of the most it's certainly one that's got the most opportunities or the most developments coming to that area.
And with that comes traffic problems.
Yes, traffic, utilities, I mean, you name it. There's all sorts of things that come along with the development. So
what happens with the traffic when something is developed, like in our extraterritorial jurisdiction, but not in the city limits, versus this one that's going to be annexed into the city? Who's responsible for the traffic growth, the traffic studies? How does that work?
I believe it's somewhat of a joint effort between the county and the city, and a lot of what happens in the ETJ is going to be up for debate here shortly, as we're trying to navigate an agreement based on the passage of SB 107. We're still uncertain what that is going to look like.
That's going to reduce the jurisdiction outside of the city limits from 3 miles to whatever the council chooses it to be, correct?
Well, I think we're going to have to negotiate that with the county. I don't think it's just our choice. I think there's a time frame that we have where we might get to choose, but there's an attempt on our part to work something out with the county for maybe a longer or even permanent time frame, and just go ahead and set the boundaries at whatever they may be.
Because it's a state legislative action that y'all cannot overturn. You have to operate within whatever those orders were. And the intention from Senator Chris Elliott was to eliminate taxation without representation. In other words, folks that are affected by what the city does but can't vote. Not just Fairhope, any city in the state. So my understanding was it would eventually reduce the ETJ to a mile or a mile and a half or zero, but you have a choice in that.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though.
Well, we somewhat have a choice. I think we still need to work out whether we want – I mean, we could go to zero. I think it's a half mile increments.
Okay.
But it really does need to be negotiated with the county on what that is, because we're trying to look at syncing up the ETJ, the police jurisdiction, and the
right
permitting as well. There were several things that we're trying to coordinate. It would be easier if they all were on the same.
I guess in my mind, the police jurisdiction, which is 3 miles out, is the same as the ETJ, which is 3 miles out. I thought they were one and the same.
They kind of, if you look at the maps, there's a lot of overlap, but there's definitely some areas where they're not all the same.
Okay. All right. It's complicated, and we'll get down to more brass tacks of that next year. It's hard to believe next year, almost already.
Right around the corner.
So Fairhope City Council is meeting this Wednesday night, the 22nd, at 6. And
we're actually meeting at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon.
I'm sorry, I see it right there, 2 o'clock. Thank you for that verification. That way folks can get out of town and have a holiday. That's wonderful. So it's at 2 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. And I'm seeing items number 10 and 9 and 10. These are grant applications for a ton of money. One of them, $250,000 to resurface 2 miles of county road from Morphy Avenue to the southern city limits. Which county road?
13.
And another grant for purchase and installation of generators at critical facilities. $500,000. These grants are wonderful, aren't they?
They are, and we just we hope they all come through. I don't see any reason why this one shouldn't. The $500,000 for generators. I think there was another grant further down.
I'm seeing a big number. I don't know if it's a grant or not. Number 15, that the city council hereby approves the negotiated price for bid number blah 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 North Summit Street Bank Stabilization.
Yep.
Awards the bid to John G. Walton Construction Company not to exceed $760,000, with reimbursement available for this up to $508,000. What is North Summit Street Bank Stabilization?
This is if you were to take North Summit down towards the treatment plant.
Okay.
And one of those gullies that that bank needs to be stabilized is your...
For $750,000?
Anytime you're moving a substantial amount of dirt, it is expensive.
That... wow. Okay, but at least $500,000 would be reimbursed, but wow, that's... did you have to get bids on this? Yeah, approves negotiated price for bids. So this did go out to bid, which means it should be the cheapest
should be the cheapest one out there.
Wow. All right, I'm in the wrong business. All right. And then we have number 16, the Fairhope City Council gratefully accepts the deed of gift for River Mill Park from the Fairhope Single Tax Corporation to the city of Fairhope. And what does that do by giving the city property the River Mill Park? That's actually a neighborhood outside of the city limits.
Yeah, so my understanding
has a green space included in it.
Yeah, so the single tax, you know, their idea, they want to they do like to preserve properties, but they don't want to just hold them themselves. If they're preserving, they would prefer to pass that along to the city if there's a property that they're not going to lease out and allow the city to hold that in perpetuity as a park. So that's
probably some type of a tax advantage to that. And single tax, it's their project doing the sidewalk down Nichols, right?
Yeah, they do a lot with the city beyond what sometimes gets recognized.
Yes.
Single tax does an awful lot with the city of Fairhope.
Well, the sidewalks are looking good, and hats off to this one guy who's almost single-handedly doing the project there, except for that little bridge thing. So, well, Jimmy, anything else that you would like to mention as we head into the holidays? Just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas, and definitely make plans to attend the New Year's Eve event. We passed the last council meeting fireworks budget and also approved a band for that New Year's Eve festivity. So please come down to downtown area and celebrate with the ball drop and the countdown to New Year's.
That's going to be a wonderful event. It's all free. Just walk downtown. If you didn't rent a tent, no problem. Bring some chairs and hang out and enjoy the live music and all of the restaurants and businesses that will be open. And then the city is going to get some type of a holiday. Administrative offices closing at noon Wednesday, the 23rd, Thursday, all day the 24th, and then again on the 31st. There will be no garbage, trash, or recycling pickup on 24th, 25th, or 31st. All right. Well, Jimmy, I hope you and your family have a very Merry
Christmas.
Thank
you very much, Lori. Same to you.
And a Happy New Year.
Appreciate you having me.
I appreciate
back
you.
Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, and I appreciate you adjusting your calendar as the new council president. We'll hear more from you as well as other council members. Generally, this second and fourth Monday, when Fairhope City Council meetings are, unless there's a holiday and one's moved, and then the mayor joining us the second and fourth Tuesday normally. And because of the fact that the meeting has been changed, she's actually going to be able to join me here on the 23rd Thursday morning for a follow-up on this meeting Wednesday. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All righty. This is WABF. It is 844 and 47.